Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and in the studio today, I'm very happy to have a good buddy of mine back on the show, Mr. Jay Zimmerman of Basic Bar in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well, man. I'm keeping warm. It's freezing, so that's good. You know, a lot of cold beer that needs to be like countered by some... strong whiskey.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. This is the best time in New York for the fashion set, though, because everyone gets to layer on all their accessories, and they, you know, like that stupid scarf that they've had sitting in their closet for 10 months that they could finally wear.
It's actually a blanket.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a vintage poncho.
It's a vintage. It's a Pendleton vintage poncho. So
don't knock it, bro. I got one. I'm kidding. No, it's great. It's it does make bar hopping a little difficult in the city, though.
Yeah,
I will say that. But we've had so much, you know, like. We've been making mint juleps with snow, you know, that we're, like, yeah. Scraping out from outside like, doing different, like, frappes and stuff like that. So that's been cool, too.
And we can't keep, I mean, we can't make enough hot toddies when,
oh, man.
When anytime the news says the words polar vortex, people just, like, gravitate.
They get their, like, toddy boner.
Yeah, a toddy boner. They have to have it, you know? I think most people don't even know what's in it. They just hear the word hot.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, that's it. Yeah.
I think I've made more this year than I definitely have made more this year than ever before.
Yeah,
but it's kind of difficult at my bar because the coffee machine where we get the hot water is like all the way at the other end from like where I normally work at the point station. So right. It's like it's a whole thing, you know.
And it's tight back there when you got two people making drinks back there. You can't just be hopping back and forth.
You gotta like be ready for it. You know, you gotta have like your like crock pot of like. Mold cider, you know,
right?
Or you're like a little kettle, like a one of those electric kettles, you know.
That's what we do. That's what we do at Basic. We have a like we just got it in Chinatown or something. It's like a thing that just heats up water, a la carte, you know,
nice.
For tea or for soup or something. That's easy. It works.
Yeah. Well, have you ever made a soup cocktail?
No,
because you just said that, and you got me thinking.
No, we actually
like
I haven't made
a
soup
Bloody
cocktail.
Mary.
This past summer, we had Barracho Gazpacho on our menu, which was gazpacho we made with tequila in it. That's the closest I've come to a soup cocktail.
Well, that actually that sounds pretty amazing right now too.
Yeah,
even though you know cold soup, but that's good. Yeah,
yeah. Clam chowder and whiskey. Those, I don't think they would go well together.
I feel like there's some sort of curdling that might happen. I don't want that. That's that could end. It could end lives, man.
Yeah. It would probably be a good idea once. And then...
You'd only ever try it once.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you wouldn't be around to try it again. No, I like this idea. Okay, so we got like a hot tomato soup. You could like work in some sort of Bloody Mary action with that.
Right.
I think that could work, man.
No, I think you could do that, yeah.
Oh, man.
Actually, this type of, that reminds me, when we were saying whiskey and chowder, I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier, but when I was like 19 years old, I went to San Francisco to, actually for no reason at all. My cousin was living out there in like the Oakland Hills. And I slept on his floor and just hung out in San Francisco for like 2 weeks. And he took me out drinking at this bar called like the Bigfoot Lounge, I think is what it was called. We had this giant Bigfoot, you know, character there. And we drank a lot of Jack Daniels. And then, you know, the best idea that I could have, I mean, I was just a drunk kid. And I was like, let's go get some of the, you know, clam chowder and sourdough bowls down at the wharf. And we did, and just immediate belly aches. Just, it's a terrible idea. So I think maybe we should avoid trying it again.
Yeah, you know, yeah, maybe.
A decade later.
You're the king of the long vacation. You just got back this last summer from, how long? 3 months?
We were gone for 2 months.
Seemed like an attorney. We all missed you, bro.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. My wife and I went to Southeast Asia for 2 months, which was just, like, out of this world amazing. And we like popped around a lot of places, so we got to see a lot of that part of the world. We tried to cover as many bases as we could in case we never got back there, you know.
Yeah.
But we actually started in Japan. We started in Tokyo, which was unbelievably amazing. One of those cities that just kind of fall in love with pretty quickly. I didn't know if I didn't expect to love it or what I expected, but I just like fell head over heels. And one morning we were there. We went to. Have you been to Tokyo before?
No, it's on my list, man.
It's I mean, you know, run, don't walk there. It's amazing. But they have this thing. It's called the Tsukiji, or I'm pronouncing that completely wrong. this fish market where they auction off all the tuna for the day. I think they do it every morning. And the auction off tuna to all the sushi restaurants throughout the city. And you can go and, like, it's just a bunch of, like, Western tourists who are, like, snapping pictures of these guys just doing their work during the morning. And you get there at, like, 5 a.m., though, like, before the sun rises.
Wow.
And
that's, like, you mean, like, that's, like, when I'm going to bed, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I was trying to be well-behaved, you know? I was, like, on the tourist tip. And so we went and got there, we're like waiting in line, we got our little like safety vests on, we're taking pictures in this basically giant refrigerated warehouse while these guys auction off all this tuna. And afterwards you go out and they have a bunch of sushi restaurants that are just incredible. I mean, the best sushi I've ever eaten in my life, just it's super, super fresh and really well done. And we're like kind of plowing through these streets and we turn down the wrong street, we turn down an alleyway, and it's like 6:30 in the morning and the sun's just coming up. And I see these two guys walking towards us, and just me and my wife, and there's just nobody on the street. And as I get closer, I'm like, I think Tony? And he's like, Jay! And it was Tony Conigliaro from London, just randomly.
From 69 Colebrook
Road. Yeah, from 69 Colebrook Road. Like, could not have been a weirder place to run into somebody. He's like, oh yeah, me and my brother are here. We're just going fishing for his birthday. I was like, what the?
Oh, you're just taking a quick fishing trip to Japan.
Yeah, yeah. I know, which is just preposterous in and of itself. But it was amazing, man. And we got to meet up, and he showed me around some really cool bars in Tokyo, and they love their whiskey over there, for sure. But it was amazing, man. Yeah, so that's kicked off our trip, and the rest was amazing. We did Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, however you want to pronounce it, Thailand, Indonesia, and Singapore.
That sounds amazing, man.
It was cool. Should have come along.
Yeah, man. I should have come along with you and your wife on your honeymoon.
Just made it a world tour. You know? Made t-shirts. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, man. You know, fire them out with one of those t-shirt cannons.
Yeah.
Point blank.
That really wouldn't scare anybody.
A t-shirt-shaped bruise on your chest.
Man, yeah. I almost got arrested in Singapore.
Oh, sweet.
Speaking of shooting guns, because when we were in Cambodia, you know, it's kind of a touristy thing to shoot, like, old war guns that they have, you know? So we went to this, like, random place and shot M16s. It's just a really...
So romantic.
It really is romantic. You're, like, slurring... slurringly drunk, probably not. But we were, like, drinking really cheap beer and, like... And their safety precautions are pretty minimal there. But we shot the M16, and I wanted to keep one of the shells.
I think you're actually describing the picture from the show, from the speakeasy.
Yeah, I saw that today. I should have posted another photo I have of like my incredibly beautiful Italian wife with her holding an AK-47.
Wow.
It's just an odd thought. But so I kept one of these shells from the M16. And I just threw it in my luggage, not even thinking twice about it.
Oh, man.
But it was an empty shell. You know, it was just a piece of metal. And we get to Singapore, and they're like, sir, you need to come with me. And we go to the police station in the airport, and they, like, go through all my bags. They're like, why do you have a bullet? And I'm like, it's an empty... I'm like, I forgot about it. This was weeks ago at this point. You know, and they wrote me up this whole summons. And they're like, you know, if you ever come in with any kind of ammunition again, you'll be immediately imprisoned and not allowed to come back here.
So, holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It was funny in hindsight, I guess.
Wow, man. I would have been sweating bullets. No, pun intended.
Ba-doom-ching. Damon, you dog. You traveled a lot this past year. I feel like you were all over the United States, at least.
Yeah, I just got back from Mexico.
Cool.
A lot of beer, cheap beer there. Yeah. A lot of... I was in Cabo, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know.
I've never...
I was hoping I could run into... you know, Sammy Hagar at some point, but never happened. And it's amazing
Did you approach random people on the streets asking them if they were Sammy
Hagar?
Have
you seen this man? Have you seen this rock icon?
He's putting up, like, wanted posters. Sammy.
Yeah. I did buy a bunch of cheap friendship bracelets. It was fun.
That's nice.
And, you know, I was on a dance competition on a booze cruise.
Yeah, did you win?
Sunset Booze Cruise. I won, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I won Sexiest Man on the Boat.
That's...
It was really ridiculous. And it was like that's an really all-you-can-drink booze cruise.
That's terrific, yeah.
To watch a sunset over the, you know, through the arc.
Yeah.
Cabo San Lucas.
Okay.
And, yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. Just really... And, like, high-quality booze.
It was really, it was strange. It was... I gotta say that. There's a lot of... I can't remember what the hell it was. I think it was like Three Pipers or something like that. It was like everywhere. And I was like, why this particular brand? But it's like, it's strange how brands get placed in places.
For
but,
sure.
But yeah, lots of Bohemias and some good Mezcal, that's for sure.
Right.
But yeah, outside of that, just, you know, went to Portland Cocktail Week, saw your brother.
Cool.
We got with him a few times. That was great. Over at the Woodsman.
The Woodsman Tavern, yeah. That place is amazing. And they opened up a new spot, Ava Jean's, which is, I think, more Italian-inspired. I'm actually heading out that way this weekend, so I'll be spending Super Bowl weekend out in Portland.
Nice. Are you going to do any guest bartending at all?
No. It's just a quick trip. I'm just there for 4 days. But, you know, I think we have some close buddies that live out there, mm-hmm. Sean Horde and Jeff Morgenthaler and stuff. So I'll try and catch up with some people the best I can, but I'm not going to be working at all. No, just kind of.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's, you know, it's not California, so if you wouldn't have to wear rubber gloves.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of press coming about, just a lot of kind of backlash, and understandably. I mean, to me, it's very unattractive on a bartender.
Yeah, I mean, when I see it, I think immediately something's wrong. Like, a person has, like, a bad cut on their hand, or...
Sure.
Or they're sick
or something.
Or they're using ingredients that they don't want to touch for some reason, and I'm supposed to be imbibing them.
Yeah.
It's an odd look, for sure.
Yeah. There was a... I think it was in Esquire. There was basically, like, kind of like one of those Thrillist, like, BuzzFeed, like, 20... So-and-so, the top 20, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it was basically, like... Like 15 to 20 different, like, famous bartender, like TV and, like, movie bartenders. You know, there's Tom Cruise from Cocktail.
Oh, like, what celebrity bartender are you, kind of thing?
No, they photoshopped the rubber gloves on all these, like, iconic, TV. And,
like, Mo Sislak with a rubber glove.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. Awesome. Yeah. Mo Sislak had rubber gloves on. Ted Danson from Cheers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was even the one scene from Pulp Fiction where they're in the bar and like that dude's got the. I thought that was a pretty nice.
That's a good one.
One to sneak in there.
One time for Halloween, I tried to be Mayday Sam Malone, but it turns out you're just a guy with an apron and a cup of coffee. It's really not a good
being real skeezy.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break. And speaking of getting skeezy, we'll take a quick break. And we'll get back. I'd love to continue talking a little bit more about the California legislation on putting the rubber gloves on the hands of bartenders. We'll be back in just a sec.
Cool.
You're listening to Baby by Brothers NYC on heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats, Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
And we are back. You're listening to the Speakeasy.
You're looking at two good-looking dudes.
You're looking at two guys just gabbing away. In the studio today, we have Mr. Jay Zimmerman of Basic Bar in Brooklyn. And right before the break, we were talking a little bit about the recent, as of January 1, the legislation that passed in California to have all food service. You know, okay, well, the thing about having like rubber gloves or using tongs, that's not a new thing.
No, not at all.
At all. No. That's required here as well. But they
want them to wear gloves all the time.
Right.
Like wearing gloves when you're cutting fruit,
right.
You know, and you're preparing garnishes, and that's one thing. But all the time, I don't know, it seems a little over the top to me.
Over the top. It's very wasteful. Thinking about all the cross-contamination, for one. Anytime you pick up a dirty glass, you've got to change gloves.
Yeah.
Anytime you...
And that's not going to happen.
It's not going
to
happen.
And that's going to lead to somebody who thinks he's being clean because he's wearing gloves.
Oh, yeah.
He'll go, handle oysters and then make the drinks. Like, what's the difference, you know?
I mean, going back to that clam chowder, whiskey thing.
Clam chowder and whiskey.
Well, let's not do that. That's what we decided in the first half of the show. Let's not do that. Let's not do the clam chowder cocktail.
I think we can take that all the way through, though. You know, the clam chowder whiskey cocktail isn't an analogy for the legislation in California. It's just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Seems good on the surface. Probably you like both tastes.
Yeah.
But together, not a positive thing.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's, I'm going out next month to go visit my brother. Just moved to San Francisco about a month ago, and I'm going to go visit him in a month. And, I knew that I was going to be going to visit him soon after he moved, but I didn't really know that this was going in effect because I was planning on doing some guest shifts out there at some different bars.
Cool.
And now it's like, I just don't want to.
Right. I mean, are people... This may be a silly question, but are people actually doing this? Are they actually putting the gloves on and bartending all night with them?
I have no idea.
It seems like something that, it's a law that people kind of skirt a little bit. It seems like it would be to me, but...
I think there's a lot of discretion to be used. For instance, I think using tongs for garnishes is fine. There are certain things, like pulling mint leaves, to... throw in a mojito or a mint julep to muddle, that's one thing. But, of course, that's something I guess you could do ahead of time. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's something to me about, it's not so much the fruit handling, it's the herb handling. And that doesn't seem like something that you can really do with tongs, so you're going to have to use gloves when you're doing a la minute. But I also don't like pulling mint leaves ahead of time, at the beginning of the shift, because they just get weird.
They get like the Black Death from the bottom up.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
So, there's nothing, I don't know. It just, to me, it seems like a really, it's going to, waste a lot of time and waste a lot of...
It's going to waste a lot of latex and rubber.
Yeah, exactly. Which is crazy.
It's a feel thing, too, though, man. I mean, it's weird. I don't really want to... go into making a condom analogy here, but it's
did.
Yeah, sorry.
Too late.
I'm sorry, Mom. I grew up playing hockey, for instance, and I used to love playing hockey with the actual wooden hockey sticks.
Yeah.
Not these composite graphite things, because I liked the way it felt. And when I bartend, I don't want a glove between my hand and the spoon when I'm stirring or when I'm shaking. It's just an odd. It would just throw me off, just because it's not what I'm used to.
And also, when you're handling a knife. Or an ice pick, you say you're carving an ice ball or a big chunk of ice, it's going to be a lot more slippery.
It's going to be tough. It's going to make life a lot tougher. And we're talking about it from the side of the business that you and I kind of employ. Mm-hmm. But even it would be strange to me if I walked into
a good dive bar
and someone puts on a pair of gloves to open up a know, a Rolling Rock for me and be like, what? Well, where's that bottle been, man?
Yeah,
you know, that you can't touch it. Yeah. And I'm putting it to my lips.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah. It's very strange, man. I hope it is amended to something that's a little bit more feasible, and it kind of stays on the West Coast. It doesn't come out here.
Well, apparently they tried doing it in Portland a few years ago.
Oh, really?
But they put the kibosh on that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do you, totally off subject, do you got big plans for Super Bowl weekend here in New York City?
Man, I do not.
Come on, you're not like, you're not playing the halftime show, you're not like having a chili cook-off or nothing?
I'm probably going to go to my friend's bar and check, you know,
just like watching.
Hang out. Yeah. I'm not doing anything at home because I know better. I know, anytime I host, it's, just a mess. Yeah. Like, and you know, we're really big into dips at our parties, you know, it's the greatest food of all time.
Dips?
Dip in general, just any kind of dip.
Whenever people ask me what my favorite food is, I just say sandwiches. Like, what kind? I'm like, no, just
in general.
Sandwiches. I just like sandwiches.
I'm really partial to them.
But you're partial to dip. And so
dip, what, man. It's not just about the dip. It's about what you use to dip into it.
Not just chips, I'm presuming. I mean, the place.
Yeah, you do the normal, like, crudité. But, you know, like, say, you know, little pizza sticks or something.
Yeah,
dip that into something else. You just church it up.
What do you think is the weirdest dip and dip accoutrement combo you've ever created?
I did one time just dump. I dipped a whole bottle of Underberg into a beer and slammed it. That's probably the weirdest.
That's good, though.
You can't do that in California.
No, not without gloves on.
But that was pretty good. I mean, that you know, it was more of a drink dip. Yeah,
for sure.
There was one time that I was eating at my bar at Prime Meats, mm-hmm. and I was having a steak at brunch, and I thought, you know what? You'd be really good with this steak. Just a glass of Old Overholt rye on the side. I'll just dip that in there.
That's really smart. And I'm sure towards the end it was even better.
I finished the whiskey after. It grossed a lot of people out, but
I think that's great. I think it's great.
There were people applauding. Like, there were people crying. You know,
you should serve it like that.
I think so.
Maybe some salt, like a little salted bourbon.
Oh yeah,
in your steak in there. That sounds great.
Oh man, you know, there's a lot of salt on bourbon right now.
Oh,
you like that?
I do like that. Segway.
Ooh, turn that corner.
There's an assault on bourbon right now. I feel like we're running out of things.
We are running out of everything.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, you know, about, you know, 6-7 years ago when American whiskey started being, you know, coming into the spotlight and mm-hmm. being popularized so much, we didn't really have the supply back then to turn it into the next thing, you know?
Right.
And it takes time to age these spirits.
Yeah.
I remember I was talking with Parker Beam 3 years ago, and I was talking to him about, like, you know, the every fall, how we have a drought of Rittenhouse rye all of a sudden. He said they realized that production was going to need to go up because of the cocktail movement and, like, the whiskey movement and all this stuff, and the American whiskey popularization. Mm-hmm. And now we've gotten to the point where we're starting to see that gap from, like, when the supply runs out to where it comes back on the market. It's gotten much smaller. So the time, you know, where we used to even be able to substitute, you know, Wild Turkey 101 rye, that's not even around anymore, you know?
It's back now.
Well, I mean, like, it hasn't been for a while, but yeah. But,
yeah, you're right, though. I mean, the gap is getting smaller and smaller. I remember a couple of years ago, it was happening even, like, the massive brands, like Woodford Reserve, I remember. They ran out of stock because they didn't anticipate being so popular 10 years later when they started making it. No one's really safe from it.
Even Maker's Mark, you know, they tried to lower their proof so they could stretch out their product.
Right,
there was a huge backlash on that.
Yeah, I remember. And they reneged on it, right? They ended up not doing it.
Yeah. But, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I think, what are we going to do about this whiskey situation? Where do we go to as connoisseurs of drinks and cocktails? Like, do we go to the smaller batch brands that
I think that's where it's going. And I noticed this, you know, we're kind of in a really fun place. I mean, geographically, with small batch brands, I think we'll start turning towards it's like smaller production, younger, whiskeys, mm-hmm. Like 3 to 5 years old, that are being produced now, you know, and they'll be a little bit more readily accessible. And then the other things, when they come along, it'll be great. But we won't be able to rely on them as much. You know what I mean? It's kind of the crux of good booze becoming so popular is that it, you know, everyone buys it.
Yeah, and we kind of did it to ourselves, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's hard to get angry when they run out of Buffalo Trace, but because you're like, well...
Like, damn, that's my house poor, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have it, but I can also get it at, you know, 50 more restaurants in New York now than you could 5 years ago.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we kind of did it to ourselves, but...
I think the responsible thing to do right now, like, even though there's so many more whiskey collectors out there that maybe aren't necessarily drinking it, just collecting it, you know? I know I collect whiskey,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
as I know you do as well, you know, but we typically will open it up and share it with friends.
Yeah.
That's the point of a lot of that. But I think the really responsible thing to do for people who just enjoy having cocktails and fine spirits is start looking in other categories. I think, you know, rum is a great category for that because, Jesus, there's a lot of rum in the world.
Right.
And it comes from everywhere.
There's tons of rum and tons of incredibly good rum.
Like good sipping rum.
We don't know about, you know? I mean, our mutual friend, our buddy Brian Miller, I mean, that guy could just talk to you about, like, rums that I've never heard of for days, and he's like, but they're so beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
And they're out there.
Yeah.
They're maybe not as readily accessible, but I think people should start looking to other categories, man.
Well, rum's also a fun category anyway because a lot of them you can't get in the United States. So it's like one of those things, anytime you travel internationally, you know, I'll stock up on Havana Club, you know, or, you know, something like Ron Caney or just anything weird that, you know, I can't get in the United States.
And even when you go to, like, if you go to smaller islands, like, they'll get... Even if it's kind of cheaper rum, they'll get rum and they'll flavor it themselves. You know, and you get these like really kind of funky rums that people are making in their restaurants. And you know, my parents go on vacation to the same place every year, and they have for 30 years. And they make vanilla rum specifically on the island. They just get rum from Martinique and just throw vanilla pods in it. And my dad just goes bananas for it. It's amazing, you know. But I think you could find that in all kinds of places.
Yeah.
You know, people just flavoring with local flavors or just producing smaller...
When in rum.
Right? When in rum. You know?
Oh, boy. Ah, jeez.
You're all over. You're a very punny guy today.
Yeah. I haven't even had my coffee yet.
Really?
Yep. Just this one beer.
Just woke up.
Just woke up.
3
The crack of noon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that is to the point that you're getting it. I think it's really important, you know, especially, you know, if you're in a place and you find something that's cool there, it's definitely so much fun to like. I love going to Texas because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll get some of the Balcones whiskeys, they get some of the like local spirits.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't drink vodka, but there are some damn good vodkas being produced there.
It's hard to ignore it though, man. I mean, vodka is one of those things that it's perpetually around, you know? And it's so, I'm not going to say easy to make, because I don't think good liquor is easy to make. But on the scale of difficulty when distilling, I think it's, you know, on the lower end. So you can get pretty good vodka, you know, around the world. You can get really, like...
I think it comes down to how you drink it, too.
Stuff, too. Yeah,
absolutely.
But you know, like the vodka that the 86 company makes, the Aylesbury Duck, like, it's good. It's good vodka. You know what I mean? And then we have lots of friends that rep good vodka brands.
Yeah.
And Tito is a great example from Texas.
Sure.
Just he was making vodka for his buddies and his family and then kind of just took off. You
know? Yeah.
Which is awesome. And that's the way small brands should happen, I think.
I think the there's an art to drinking vodka, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
I don't know that I've ever done it properly.
I think you know, chilled, like, just like ice Russian cold. Style, just boom, like... Right. Straight out of the bottle.
Right.
Or on the rocks, you know. I mean, back when I was really into shochu and soju, like, you know, you drink it on the rocks.
I mean, very similar spirits.
Exactly. Well, the flavors are so delicate, you can't go crazy mixing it.
Right.
But, I mean, I think, you know, martini is fine.
And places like, in like Hong Kong, for example, like, that's how they drink shochu, right? Or in Japan or China. They drink it just neat and cold.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I remember, you know.
Or maybe not even cold.
Not even cold, just room temperature. Years ago, or they may still do this, I don't know. Not that I don't go there, but I don't drink quite like I used to. But employees only, their house shot was just in a deep freezer, Stoli black label, you know. And just ice cold and kind of viscous and delicious, you know. So I don't know. I've never been one of those bartenders to be like, you know, forget vodka. It's terrible. It's terrible. I think it has its place.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
But I think our place right now is at the bar drinking some whiskey.
Yeah.
Before we run out completely.
Fair enough.
All right, Jay, dude, thanks for coming on the show again. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Of course, the door's always open. And swing by anytime, man.
Thank you, brother. It's always great to see you.
Absolutely. And be sure to go visit Jay and the crew over at Basic in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
It's us.
All right. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.